If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy, if you will, officially we're going to begin talking about the theme for this year, study to show thyself approved. And I'll try to explain the heart of the theme and what we want to accomplish this year. I think that this theme, to study to show ourselves approved, would be one that would help bolster that in our lives, that thing of prayer, as we actually work on what this actually means, okay? So it's not like we're getting ready for some kind of test, right? It's not like a teacher or a parent that tells their child to, you better study that history so you can, or study that math or study that English, you know, et cetera. It's not so much like that. It's really a whole lot more. And we're going to learn about that as we go along here. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read responsively here, and just a few verses, and we'll catch up. I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'll read out loud by myself on the odd verses. You can join me on the even verses out loud. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll begin in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation, Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here in 2 Timothy, and we started with this at verse 1, and I a lot of times we just focus on verse 15, but I want you to realize that these first 14 verses, Paul is setting this up, and he's actually explaining, by the way, what we want to really hone in on, and as far as context goes. But I want you to understand that this thing of study isn't just, okay, we're gonna take the Bible, we're gonna memorize it, we're gonna do this, and part of that is true and good, but it really it's a way of life. And this thing of study to show thyself approved, not only is it a way of life, but it also gives the why of life. We're approved unto God. And that's where so the way of life is to be a life of a student, to be a life of searching after God, finding out what God wants, and we're going to talk about the definition here in just a moment, but I want you to realize that it's not a natural thing for us to want to do. Because, I mean, Brother Nicholas, if it was a natural thing for human beings to want to study stuff and the right kind of stuff, we would never have to tell our students to do it. Right? I mean, but we actually have to teach them. You know, we have to show them, all right, this is how you memorize, and this is how you take notes, and this is how you study for a test, you know. And by the way, I've mentioned this before, but one of my favorite posters as a kid in the library of our school, they had a picture, a poster of Garfield, the cat. And he had books tied to his legs and to his body and to his head. And the caption was, "I learned by osmosis." Okay? Wouldn't that be great? If we could just, you know, put our Bible under our pillow at night and, you know, we just wake up a better Christian, you know, because our brain has absorbed the Word of God. I mean, that'd be fabulous. But God didn't make us that way, did He? Or did He make you that way? I'd like to know, okay? but that's not how we're made. So as Paul goes on, we're going to go through some of these verses here. I want to explain that, but I want you to look at listen to the word study. So as Paul explains in these first 14 verses, and then he makes a comment to Timothy to study in verse 15, you understand that the word study means to set one's mind on something. Okay, everybody okay with that definition? All right, because like if Brother Nicholas and I, who are math teachers, if we tell somebody to study algebra, right, which is a curse to most people, what do you mean? Yes. The blowhard over there is trumpeting out. No, I love to pick on. He's a brass player. That's fun. If we tell them to study algebra, right? We want them to set their mind on that subject, right? And if you tell somebody to study English, right, they're supposed to set their mind on that study, okay? Now, so Paul is telling Timothy, look, you need to set your mind on something. And does he say what? He just says, study to show thyself approved unto God. You say, well, that's just implied. He's talking about the Bible. Well, yes, I think he's talking about the Bible. But I think he's talking about something greater. Honestly. And you say, well, how do you understand that? By context. If you go to the verses preceding verse 15, he's talking about living with Christ. He's talking about suffering with Him and reigning with Him and denying Him, and He'll deny us. And if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. So Christ is faithful. He's talking about all these things. So really, I think he's saying, study Christ. Who are we supposed to become like, everyone? Christ. Who are we supposed to be conformed to? Christ, right? And by the way, whose mind are we supposed to have? Christ's mind, right? And so if the mind is to be set on a particular subject, I think as Christians, we're not just supposed to study the Bible. We're supposed to study the capital Word of God. Be a student of Jesus Christ. And by the way, you could say those two are the same thing. Yes, they are, but doesn't it mean so much more, if you will, to study a person than a writing, if you will? Right? Or a being than a writing. And by the way, I'm not trying to belittle the Bible. I hope you understand that. I'm just trying to expand your thinking that it doesn't mean we're just supposed to, you know, look at the Word of God and study these things. But no, we're supposed to study more than that. More than just words, more than just knowledge, if you will, of a subject per se, but rather the study of a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. As you understand this word study, it means to set the mind on or thoughts on a subject. It means that we're supposed to apply ourselves to an art or a science or to any subject for a purpose, it says. For the purpose of learning what is not known before. Okay, now let me ask you a question. As a human being, have we always known Christ? No. We knock on doors, we talk to people about Jesus Christ, we give out gospel tracts and things like that. But do you understand? I've talked to people and I'll say to them, well, if you die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And they say, well, yes, I would. And I say, well, how do you know? And they say, well, I've just always known. I've heard, how many of you soul winners, you've heard somebody tell you that? I've just always known. Really? That's amazing. Actually, that's impossible. And of course, I'm quite sarcastic when I say that. But you understand, no, you haven't always known. You know, there was a time that you didn't know Christ and someone shared Jesus Christ with you. By the way, have you always known that you're saved? No. But there's a time and a place where you understood and you've accepted it if you're born again. And now you know. So you know what? We're supposed to learn something that we've not known before. By the way, do we know everything? Once we get saved, do we know everything about the Christian life? No. Far from it. Right? That's why it calls us babies, right? We're supposed to, as newborn babes, we're supposed to desire the sincere miracle of the word that we may grow by there. Grow thereby. By there. Thereby. I said those words backwards. Now, that's the process, right? Does that process ever stop? And you've heard me say it before. I believe it's physically impossible for the human mind to fully comprehend this book. To exhaust it, if you will. And so there's always something we can learn, always something we can grab hold of, but I've got to set my mind on it. So if I don't set my mind on it, what am I setting my mind on? Something else, okay? Do you understand that you're not going to just live in a state of limbo, right? You're not just going to live in a state where your mind is in neutral, right? Are you always learning something? Every day, are you learning something? You are. But are they the things you're supposed to learn or not? Okay, and so we're trying to partition things here. I want you to understand that. So some things are profitable, yes. And if you will, some natural things are profitable. Like, for instance, balancing a budget. I mean, that's good to learn. You know, science, history, math, those are good things to learn. So I'm not saying that any, all of the things of this world, if you will, are nonsense and not to be learned. We're supposed to study those things and set our mind to those things. But what needs to be the principal thing, the overriding thing in all of our lives, is to study and set our mind on the things of God. Is there much to learn about God? Is there much we don't know about God? So I need to make it a matter of study in my life. And by the way, when it says, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but we'll get there eventually. When it says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? And all these things shall be added unto you. So what does that mean? We're supposed to set our minds first on these things. If you look back what Paul says to Timothy, he says this in verse 14. He says, of these things, put them in remembrance. Of what things? Of the things about Christ, about being a husbandman that must be first partaker of the fruits, about striving for the mastery, warring, being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, being faithful to teach others also, being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. All these things, the things that they had heard of Paul among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, warring for the things of God instead of the things of this life. He says, these are the things that I want you to remind them of. Because he says this. He says, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. You understand that there's things that are just not worth it to study. There are things that are not worth it to set your mind on. They're a waste of time. And let me just say something. I've fallen into this trap. I know you've fallen into this trap. Folks, we waste today in this time, in this society, in these generations today, we waste so much time. We set our mind on so many other things that are just not important. And by the way, time is one of those things that we don't have more of, nor can we manufacture it. It's a limited resource.
But take an account.
I've had to take an account of my life over many times. And by the way, can I just tell you, I'm not perfect. I fail at this a lot. I do. I end up wasting a lot of time. Why? Because I'm human, like you are. Okay? Did you know that it's really not important what football stats a team has or a person has? It's not important. It's not even close to important. You know what? But yet, people can rattle off, oh, this guy had this many yards, and this guy has this record, and this guy has that record. Who cares? Now, I'm interested in those things. I guess I have an interest or a taste for that. But honestly, I really don't study that. Now, I may pick up things that I hear and stuff like that, but I know people that know that stuff cold. I mean, they know it. They have it memorized. They search the records every day. I know that's just one thing, and that only pertains to some of us in here that like sports. But there's other things. You know, it's funny. I for some reason I remember things like prices of food. Now that's somewhat important, okay? Like I told you before, I'm a bargain shopper, right? But I kind of recall those types of things. That's not so much important for me to set my mind on that. But there are some things that are just a complete waste of time. Like what level in Candy Crush you're on, or whatever that is. You know, does it really matter? Or we may study the rules of some game or something and become good at it. For what? Or even this, you know, movie characters, or you know, one of the big things today are the superhero type movies. You know, everybody knows how this guy killed this guy, and this guy became this guy, and this guy did this to this guy, and it's like, or girl or lady or whatever. It's like, why? Who really cares? Who got what stone and what universe and whatnot and what whatever thing and. You know, the hammer exploded and now he's got a different weapon and, you know, things like, whatever. You know, just nonsense. But we set our mind on it. So as we dive into this and as we look at this passage of scripture and many others, we want to get the sense of the word study. But in order to get the sense of the word study, it's a word that says we're supposed to do something, right? Set our mind, if you will, on something, or pay attention to it, and to put our thoughts on it, and an application of our mind, and to examine closely, to consider it attentively, to be earnest about it, to be diligent about it, to endeavor in it, to labor in it. So, all of those things are like doing type words. They're action type words. But the action of what? Well, the what is our mind. Our mind. Because if I'm going to set my mind on it, if I'm going to pay attention or put my mind in attention of something, I need to know what the mind is. And so, and how it affects me. As the Christian. So when Paul is going through and he's talking to Timothy about these things, let's just review. Go back and just kind of follow through with me in these verses. He says, first of all, that he's supposed to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, right? And he's supposed to remember the things that he's heard and commit them to faithful men who are going to be able to teach others also. He's supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's not going to be easy, right? It's going to be difficult to accomplish these things. He uses in verse 4 the word warreth. And he says, you've got to fight, right? You've got a war. This is going to be a battle. By the way, we'll talk about that in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. You understand that. But he says, you've got to do this. And if you're going to do it, you can't entangle yourself with the world. So listen. If you're going to study, if you're going to set your mind on the things of God, you can't set your mind on the things of the world too. Can I allude back to something Jesus said? You can't serve two masters. So you've got to stay single-minded, if you will, in this effort. He says you can't entangle yourselves with the affairs of this life. Why? He says that ye may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What does that mean? We're showing ourselves approved unto God. And because Paul doesn't say in verse 15 what to study, he just says to set your mind to show thyself approved unto God. So what's going to be approved? What's God going to approve? Is he going to approve the world? The things of this world? Entertainment? Fashion? Nonsense? Human reasoning? Human ideas? No, 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 and no. What's he going to approve? His things. He's going to approve Jesus Christ, his son. He's approved. Right? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Isn't that what God said? Yeah, it is. So you understand that, and again, Colossians 3, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, comes up. Where are we supposed to set our affection? On things above, not on things on this earth. So you understand, and he even says it there. When Christ, who is our life. Let me ask you a question. When something's your life, have you set your mind on it? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that's exactly the clarification of this word. So what is the mind? The mind is the intellectual or intelligent power of man. Okay, that's the Webster's definition of the mind. It's the intellect, it's the intelligence, it's the understanding power that conceives and judges and reasons. It's our reason. Okay? It's also our inclinations, our desire, and our will. That's our mind. It's the affections. So Webster defines the mind as all these things. And in our King James Bible, the word mind is listed 95 times in 93 verses. Okay? That's a good number. You think it's important to know our mind? And to know about our mind? Because guess what? If we know about it, then can we set it accordingly? Right? So think about this. When Paul says study, he says labor, endeavor, be earnest, be diligent to put your intellect, your intelligence, your understanding, your reasoning, your judgment, your inclinations, your desire, your will and affection so that you'll be approved unto God. That's what this entails. You see, it's defined by a simple five-letter word, study, but it means all of that. So it's not as simple as it first may appear. Just like prayer is not as simple as it first may appear. It's actually quite complex. And so we've got to realize that God wants us to do this. We're supposed to do these things. He says we're supposed to strive, in verse 5, strive for the masteries. But we're supposed to strive lawfully. He says we can't cheat. We can't cut corners. He says, strive for the masteries, yet is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You can't cut corners in this, folks. If you're gonna be in the Christian life, you've got to be in it. You can't serve these two masters. You can't, the Bible says if our eye is not single, right? It can't be darkness and light, it's got to be single. We can't have it both ways. We can't say we love God and love the world too. He says, because if we do, the love of the Father is not in us. These are all true things. So we must choose, we must be careful to choose to do these things. And look at verse 6. We have to be partakers of the fruits. By the way, what does that mean? We got to be saved. You can't do this if you're lost. There's no choice. There's no regeneration. There's no new life in Christ.
But those of us that have that, we can do these things. We can endure hardness. We can shun these things. We can remember these things and do these things. So he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Well, yeah, that's what happens when we change our thinking to God's thinking. We actually have this conversation with ourselves and say, you know what? Maybe he's right. Maybe God's right and I'm wrong, and that we set our mind to find out what we don't know. Do you know that I don't know everything? I know that you find that hard to believe, but I don't. I don't know everything. But I know the one who does know everything. So I've got to choose, hey, maybe I'm not right. Maybe he is. So I need to set my mind on these things. I need to give over, I need to give up my desires and set my mind on his desires. I need to give up on, if you will, give over of my intelligence and my intellect, and I need to choose his. So I need to set my mind after him. In 1 Chronicles, David is talking to his son Solomon. And he tells Solomon great advice, okay? Everybody thinks that Solomon came up with this on his own of what to ask God for. Can I tell you something? He didn't. He had good instruction from a man after God's own heart. David wasn't perfect, folks. You know that. Right? He lived a kind of a roller coaster life, if you will. But can I tell you something? He's the only person in the scriptures called a man after God's own heart. That must mean something. Here's what he tells his son in chapter 28, verse 9 of 1 Chronicles. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. That's a good start. Hey, Christian, if you're going to succeed in life, know, K-N-O-W, God. Know him. Do we really know him? Or do we just know of him? Oh, there's a difference. Right? Hey, do we really know Jesus Christ, or do we just know of him? Do we really know the Holy Spirit of God, or do we just know of him? Do we really know the Word of God, or do we just know of the Word of God? But he tells his son to know the God of thy father. And then he says, and serve him. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Because if I'm a servant, right, can I serve two masters? God says no man can serve two masters. Because you're going to have this relationship with one and the other with the other. You understand that, right? You're going to serve the one and hate the other. That's true. So he says, know the Lord God of thy fathers. And he says, serve him. And I love this phrase because it has to do with our study today. With a perfect heart. Remember when we talked about the heart? What is the heart? It's the seat, right? It's the throne room. It's, if you will, it's the seat of our being. The heart. With a perfect heart. A complete heart. One that's set toward God, right? Who gets to sit on the throne of your life? I hope God does. He says, Solomon, serve him with a perfect heart. And then look at the next, well, if you're there, but or if not, if you're not there, just listen. And with a willing mind. A willing mind. So if the mind is our will, the mind is our desire, the mind is our intellect, the mind is our understanding and those things, it has to be willing and willingly set on the things of God. We have to choose, folks. Now, how many of you are like me and you have a wandering mind? Right? Yeah, hello. Squirrel. What? You know, that's me. I'm somewhat distracted at times. But can I tell you something? I've got to willingly set my mind on God. Let me ask you, just because you're born again, just because you have Jesus Christ, does God now have complete robotic control of you?
No, he doesn't.
Is that what he wants?
No.
No, it's not. What does he want? He wants submission. He wants us to say, I'm willing to set my mind on you, God. And I'm not willing to set my mind on this world, on the things of this world. So David tells his son Solomon, he says, look, if you'll do this, this is how you're going to succeed. He's a father, he's a king, and he's got a son, if you will, a prince, who's coming up in the ranks and probably is going to be the next king. God already told him that. And he says, look, I want you to be successful. I don't want you to fail. So you've got to do this. He says, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Folks, God knows our heart. God knows our mind. He knows us. He searches us. He says, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. That's pretty big stuff. I mean, it's not different than what Paul said. Paul said, look, if you do this and you deny the Lord, he'll deny you. He says, you gotta understand something, but he's faithful and we're not faithful. We change where we set our mind, don't we? Because listen, you may attend, folks, maybe you do New Year's resolutions or whatever, and that's fine, whatever. But you set out to do something, how quickly do you deter from that? Right? And sometimes what do we have to do? We make a side road, and then we have to get back to the main path. Side road, main path, side road, main path. I mean, it's hard for us to stay dedicated, isn't it, as human beings? Why? Because we're unfaithful, and he's faithful. God is the one that's faithful. We're the ones that have a problem where we set our mind. Where we set our understanding and our inclination, our desires, our wills, and our will and our affections. In Luke chapter, Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I love this passage of scripture. You want peace in your life? Who wants peace? Yeah, we all do, right? Who gets the peace? Well, Isaiah said, the peace comes when it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I want you to look up that word on your own. That's a really good word. When something is stayed, yeah, that's a good thing. Not wavering. It's steady. It means it has a purpose. It has a plan. It has a foundation. And that's how our lives need to be. And then he goes on and says, because he trusteth in thee. Where's our trust? The world has nothing to offer us, folks. No joy, no peace, no benefit. God is our source of supply. Our mind needs to be stayed on him. It needs to be founded on him. It needs to be unmovable in him. He is our stay. That's S-T-A-Y. That not like, you know, the dog stay. You know, sit, stay, roll over, play dead. You know, not that stay. Stayed. It's a foundational word. It's the foundation of our life. Where we place our mind. And that's what the word study means. It's the setting of the mind or thoughts upon a subject. I'm just going to change that because, you know, it's okay. It's not okay to change the Bible, but it's okay to change Webster's dictionary, right? It's when we set our mind, when we set our thoughts upon God. On God. God has to be our stay. He has to be our foundation. So that we can't waver. A double-minded man is what? Unstable. Does God want us to be unstable? No. He wants us to be single-minded man. And guess where that mind is supposed to be? With him.
And that's what we need to do this calendar year. In Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34, Jesus Christ is talking to them, and he's telling them about life, right? I mean, Jesus didn't just spend time and with these guys and not impart anything to them. He's just telling them about life and how to live life. He says this, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You say, what? God's telling him not to worry about the things of this life? Bing, bing, bing. Yes. That's what he's telling him. He says, what ye shall eat? Because, you know, I worry about that. How many of you worry about that? I was so excited, Redolosi, to go back there during donut time and find the little styrofoam container with the miniature apple fritters. Glory to God. Okay? I'm sorry, I'm carnal. I set my mind on those things. That's where my desire was for that moment in time. They're just happy little, you just pop the whole thing in your mouth and just glory to God, right? Amen. The only problem was there wasn't enough of them. I had to share with Brother Russ. Right, Brother Russ? Amen. All right, now, look. He says, take no thought what ye shall eat. Do we worry? And by the way, do we somewhat worry about that? We do. Absolutely we do. Okay? Neither for the body what ye shall put on. Now, I don't worry about this. Not at all. Whatever clothes are out for me, that's what I put on. I really don't care. Except for when my wife tries to throw away my, you know, clothes from high school that I still have. Anyways. Some of you are mad at me because you can't wear your clothes from high school. It's all right. I'm not poking. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. She's shaking her head. I bet you she is. You shouldn't have said that. Don't say that. Neither for your body what you shall put on. He says the life is more than meat and the body more than raiment. So he's trying to teach these guys something. Hey, look, you're setting your mind on the wrong things. You're learning about all the wrong things. You're focused on the wrong things. You shouldn't be focused on that. That shouldn't be where your mind is set, where your desires and your affections and your intellect and your thoughts are set. They should be set on me. He says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Boy, wouldn't that be great? Right? Ethan, how'd you like to be another 18 inches taller? You're good? 6'4" is enough for you? Okay. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? He said, he's really challenging his disciples here. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, isn't that what it really boils down to? The reason why we don't set our mind on God and set our heart and our desires and our thoughts and our things that we study and learn about on God is because it's really a matter of faith, is it not? It really just shows the level of our faith, that we're of either little faith, no faith, right? Much faith. It depends on what kind of faith, how we're exercising our faith. But he says, O ye of little faith. And he says, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of... Then he says this, neither be ye of doubtful mind. And that's really the problem, isn't it? A doubtful mind. He says, for all these things do the nations in the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So that's all a prelude to the next verse, which you all have memorized, right? Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. And honestly, that's really the crux of this. Because in 2 Timothy, Paul doesn't tell Timothy what to study. He just says the word study. To show thyself approved unto God. Set your mind, Timothy, on the things that God's going to approve of. Set your ways, your desires, your thoughts, your intellect, your mind on God. That's real faith. That's really where God wants us to be. In this passage of Luke 12, Christ continues to say, He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide for yourselves bags that which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, like I said before, this is just the beginning. But I want you to understand, and by the way, there really are 93 verses with the word mind in it 95 times. And no, I'm not going to read them all today. Let me leave you with one other. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 12. There's a few more verses that I wanted to get to today, but I took too much time on other things. You know these verses, by the way. But if we're going to succeed in this theme this year, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, right? We've got to live this life. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Oh, by the way, there's another word coming up here, which has to do with this thing of being willing, a willing participant. He says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, so if it's our reasonable service, that means it's reasonable. I know that's redundant, but it is. Okay? It means you can do it. Can we do this? Yes, we can. Can we study to show ourselves approved? Yes, we can. Brother Nichols, we have to convince students that they can pass the test. Right? That they really can learn algebra. They can. Yes, adults, you can too. We should have a class this year. Should we have a class? Amen. All right. Who wants to take algebra class? Any of you adults? No? Okay. Brother Losey will. Yeah, I knew you would. You could probably teach the class. It's your reasonable, you can do this. We can study, Christian. We can set our mind on Him. We can be of great faith, not little faith. We can do this being approved unto God. And then He says in verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world." He says, don't set your mind on this world. Don't be conformed to this world. He says, "But be ye transformed," listen to this, "by." What, is that word "by" important? It is, right? By what? By the renewing of your, oh, there it is, of your mind. Folks, in our natural state, our mind is already set on this world. It's already set on the things of this world. It's our carnal nature. And it's a battle. I have printed here from Romans chapter 7. You understand that this is something that happens in us. Paul goes on and he says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God of the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind," he says. It's a battle. But we're supposed to do this by the renewing of our mind. Paul says, that we may prove what is that good, oh, here's the word, and acceptable
You see, this is no mistake. I didn't just put in a, you know, a logarithm for the different words that I wanted to point out here, and it just popped up a whole bunch of Bible verses. No, God connects these dots. Because these words mean something. There's no mistake that he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. It's acceptable and perfect will of God. So to study, to set our mind on these things is our goal. Why? Because I want to be approved unto God. I don't really care about being approved unto man. Because guess what? If you're approved unto God, God's going to make that work. Now, eventually we're going to talk about Jesus Christ in Luke 2:52. He grew in right stature, wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. But we've got to start here. And it starts with your mind.